and welcome to Cholangio Heroes, a video podcast produced by the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation. I'm Jennifer Weaver, and joining me today is Tom Leitzke. He will be talking a little bit about his story in connection to the disease. So welcome, Tom. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Well, let's start there. Tell us about your story. How are you connected to cholangiocarcinoma?
Well, my story actually started a little bit more than 16 years ago when I was losing energy and started getting jaundiced and severe itching and so forth, knew something was dramatically wrong, and took 5.5 months to figure out what it was.
So, oh, 5.5 months, that's a long wait.
Yeah, well, I was living in Japan at the time, and part of the problem was me, because I was only home like once every 4 or 5 weeks for a week, and I didn't take it serious enough, but by the time I got diagnosed, I was in pretty bad shape. I was diagnosed with a cholangiocarcinoma, stage 3B perihilar, and it's a life changer when you get diagnosed. I won't say I felt hopeless, but I was told, age 58, I was told I'll never work again, and 80% chance I had 1 to 7 months left to live. And I remember my brain saying, okay, 1 month is like 4 weeks, and like, gee. And I didn't have any emotion. Maybe I was in shock. And the doctor said, well, if we can do something, which I guess was the other 20%, mm-hmm. Even very, very best case, expect less than 2 years. So that was a starting point of my experience with cholangiocarcinoma.
That's absolutely terrifying. I can imagine how you felt having to share that with your family.
Yeah, my wife was there, and she actually helped reshare it after we left the building, because she had picked up on a few points that I hadn't done that. But I think I was in shock a little bit with the entire ordeal. And that's one reason, conversations of hope is really reaching out to mostly to new patients or recently diagnosed patients, because except for a very few that maybe diagnosed early at stage 1 or stage 2, it's pretty tough to be on the receiving end of a message to that sort.
Right. And so what happened after you were told these grim statistics of where you would kind of fall into? What happened with the 20%? What was your treatment like?
Yeah. So I was told we're going to do a week's worth of tests to see if I could qualify. And we did. By the way, this was December 2007. And a week
later...
And
when you say qualify, it was qualify for surgery or...
Surgery. And so I ended up having a resection 2 weeks after my diagnosis. And that was New Year's Eve of 2007.
Wow.
And had two surgeons for an 8-hour surgery. And, just amazing what doctors are willing to do on a New Year's Eve. I had surgery at that point, and then followed in 2008 with radiation, 30 treatments, and then about 4 or 5 months of chemo during 2008.
And, wow.
And the rest was recovery.
And what was your recovery like?
Well, I was really sick when I got diagnosed. And the first 3 or 4 months, I was in bed quite a bit, and I wasn't working. And the first hour of each day, I would start as when I was a little kid and thinking of all the positive experiences and opportunities and so forth, kind of like Groundhog Day. And every day I'd think of new stuff. But I think that helped quite a bit. I wasn't hopeless, but I had accepted that, I don't have a long time to live. So just re-embrace the positive of my life.
I like that. I think positive thinking does wonders. Even like you said, you were basically told you'd have maybe 2 years to live. And I love that you took the opportunity to think about all the positive, because I'm sure you, like you said, you probably didn't feel all that well. And I can't imagine you felt very well going through chemo and radiation either.
Yeah. Well, because I was working so much until I got diagnosed, my cat and I really bonded, because Jasper used to be in bed with me quite a bit. But, you know, I tell people you shouldn't have to be diagnosed to do what I did. It really was a very good way to get the mindset and get me started off on the right track for the day.
So during your recovery, what did you do then? Because we're talking about, that was 2000, you said eight. So that was.
Yeah, that was 2008. Yeah.
So what did your recovery, what did you do through your recovery? How did you connect to the foundation?
Well, that's, you know, I think that's another important aspect. During the first two or three years, I did not know the foundation existed. They had already started up. No one really knows what cholangiocarcinoma is or bile duct cancer, but one of the guys that I had worked with said that he has an aunt that had it, and he connected me with her. And, you know, about once a year, we would talk and check in to see how we were doing. But, you know, when I got diagnosed and say in less than 2 years, I asked my doctor, do you know anyone that survived longer than 2 years? And he said, no. But I remind him every year that, you know, I'm approaching 16 now. And so I said, you got a better answer next time. But I didn't realize the community and the infrastructure that existed. And when I finally I wasn't on social media for about the first 3 years of my diagnosis. And I finally got onto social media and found the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation and the Cholangiocarcinoma Warriors. And it was just amazing to me to realize there was a whole world of us out there.
Mm-hmm. That would probably help you feel not as alone, because I can imagine, you know, your doctor's like, I don't know anybody. And you hadn't heard of anybody.
Yeah. And this, you know, in my survival, this has really helped me a lot, because, you know, we're not doctors. We're just patients and networking. And the cholangiocarcinoma has really helped to connect the dots with different opportunities for care that I wouldn't have had otherwise. So it's been extremely helpful to me.
So the foundation was probably also in its infancy, because it started in 2006.
That's correct.
And so you found when did you find the foundation? 2009?
No, I think it was more like 2011.
Okay. So it had been off and running for about 5 years. So what were the services that were helpful to you when you did connect to the foundation, besides the Facebook group, Cholangio Warriors?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the Facebook Cholangiocarcinoma Warriors, when Sarah Bennett started that, she modeled what hope is about. And she had a way of joking about it that worked and really, really helped bring on the sense of community. With the foundation itself, I guess over more so, I've seen a lot of growth. And how the foundation is coming together. But right now, it's really helped to emphasize biomarkers. I didn't have biomarkers done until 2018. And that opened up new opportunities for me as well. So I really embrace and applaud what the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation has done and is doing.
So are you still having treatment 16 years later? Are you still having to do checkups? Where are you at with your health now?
Yeah. Well, had I known back then what I knew now, I'd probably be totally cured by now, because there are some things I could have been doing earlier, but there were things that weren't known about right now. So I had, you know, after my initial treatment, I went 4 years without any problems. Mm-hmm. And in November of 2011, a small nodule showed up in my upper left lung, did CyberKnife, and for 5 years. And I was pronounced cured in 2017. The caveat was, they said, we've been watching for 5 years, some suspicious scar tissue growth. So come back next year and we'll check it out. Mm-hmm. Well, that suspicious scar tissue growth was actually tumor cells growing. And I came back a year later to a full-blown tumor and had a lobectomy. So I've learned that if it's suspicious, why do I want to wait a year later to check it out? So I share that with fellow patients, fellow warriors, quite a bit. So I had a lobectomy in 2018. And after that, I started feeling a pain in my ribs. And the lab work didn't look too good. And so after the lobectomy, we did a PET scan from head to my knee. And gee, I had a tumor in my brain. I had a really large tumor in my femur bone, 3 tumors in my rib, which I could actually feel, and a lot of cancer in my lungs, which I already knew about from the CT scans. Yeah. So my world opened up to a whole new adventure at that point.
And so that was 2017, and today it's 2022.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you still battling all those tumors?
So my brain is a very effective cyber knife to the brain. It caught it early, and that worked. And I had radiation to my femur bone, which kind of fried my leg pretty much, and they're afraid the bone is going to break. So they put a titanium rod in, got an 8-inch blood clot. So I've had some challenges with it on that. And because of my biomarkers, where the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation helped, had I been locked in with the right care back in 2019, I'd be taking immunotherapy, and it could have made the last 4 years a lot easier. Right now, this year, I'm doing immunotherapy by itself, and it's about 3.5 years later, but it's working really well. But I could have made the last few years a lot better. Some other cholangiocarcinoma patients say, well, I don't have the same mutation, so I don't have the same opportunity. But the point is, I'm on my 16th year, and there's a lot of opportunities coming up we don't know about yet.
Yeah.
And so deal with the day, make the best of the day you possibly can. And, who knows what's going to be around the corner, because that's how it works.
That is so true. I'm actually really impressed by the language that you use. It's so positive. I used a really negative connotation about battling, and you took it and was like challenging. It's just challenges that I overcome. So even the way you speak is just really, really positive. So where does that come from? Did that come from this whole experience, or have you always been like that?
Well, first of all, I think I've always been on the positive side. With cholangiocarcinoma, what I worry concerning the most, people that get diagnosed when they're younger. I was diagnosed at age 58, and my rationalization was, I've always been the lucky one. I've had a nice job, a nice career, always been healthy, a lot of fun experiences, so now it's my time in the barrel. I think that helped me quite a bit to not have a pity party, so to speak, mm-hmm. about myself. And, I was always so much into doing. And once I got diagnosed, it kind of a natural transition to more of being. Mm-hmm. Who am I? Who do I want to be? How can I show up the best possible? And again, through some of these time periods, really thinking I did not have a lot of longevity. 2020 was a very tough year. This has been a very tough year. Earlier this year, it was pretty traumatic. But 9 of the first 11 years after being diagnosed were amongst the best of my life. And it's because, I could let go of the smaller things, recognize more about what are the important things. And, I'm not that unique. A lot of people experience the same type of thing. it becomes a different life. There's some negatives. However, there's some real positive silver lining as part of it. At least it has been for me.
Well, I can definitely tell just from talking to you that you're still a doer. And with that said, what are you going to be doing now?
Well, you know, my leg got fried really, really bad, which has hampered my mobility. So right now I'm focusing on being more active. I am able to bicycle, and I got an electric bike so I can keep up with my wife, because my one leg doesn't have a lot of force and momentum when I do that.
Yeah.
We love going for walks. We're trying to extend that. And looking forward to continuing to do traveling when we can. Right now, my immunotherapy is every 3 weeks. And I'm hoping to do the double dose and do every 6 weeks. So we have time periods in between to do stuff. So it's how do we enjoy it today, no matter what it is, whether it's, right before this, I just met with a coworker, and I hadn't seen in about 11 or 12 years. And it was so delightful. And I did that because about 7 weeks ago, I had a very serious bout. I was in intensive care for 4 days with septic shock. And I realized, there's so many nice people out there that I've known in my life. I need to do a better job reaching out to people I really like and respect. And it was such a neat event, and I got back moments before this call, and it really helped set the stage for gratitude.
Oh, I love that. We're definitely grateful for you and sharing your story. And I understand you're going to be sharing your story more, correct?
I share it when I can. What I'm learning is, I'm involved with Clangio Connect. And
that's our mentoring program from the foundation.
Yes.
Right? Are you a mentor now?
I've been a mentor for many years.
Oh, nice.
And I've mentored people around the globe just about. And I've learned it's not so much about my story. It's more about people appreciate having someone that really understands and gets it, and to be there for the other person. So that's the biggest thing I've learned by being a mentor.
So aside from volunteering with Clangio Connect as a mentor, are you doing other type of volunteer efforts?
Yeah, I recently kicked off, it's called Conversations of Hope. The main theme is reaching out for people newly or recently diagnosed, as well as their families, because it's a life-changing event. It's very significant. That's the main purpose. Also, to spread awareness. I've learned to tell people, what I have is like pancreatic cancer. People know it's a pretty serious cancer. Not all cancers are created equal.
Yeah.
And if I say I have cholangiocarcinoma, for bile duct cancer, I get either a strange look, or some are willing to say, well, what's that? And then it goes on. So awareness is really a key part. And that's part of the Clangio, conversations of hope, to do awareness. And we're going through a lot of tough period, and especially families diagnosed. We're trying to reach beyond the normal Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation family members, those who can, to also be a fundraiser. Cholangiocarcinoma is very unknown, but it's a growing cancer because it's a rare cancer, and it's a very serious cancer. And, the popular cancers are not growing. The incident rate is shrinking. Cholangiocarcinoma is growing. And by 2040, if you take the intrahepatic portion of cholangiocarcinoma and map it up to liver cancer, it's going to be the third cause of death from cancer, followed behind pancreatic cancer, which has more patients that have that, and then lung cancer. And so, you know, it's pretty significant. And, you know, I have so much gratitude for what the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation has done to help me. I feel that's an opportunity as a firsthand expert at this point to share my conversations of hope for awareness and for those who can to be a fundraiser.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate you sharing your story and your efforts with Conversations of Hope. Those who are just joining us now, please go to cholangiocarcinoma.org to find out more information about the foundation. And, you know, if it's a little bit hard for you to spell cholangiocarcinoma, it is for me too, and I'm the director of communications. You can also go to curecc.org. That'll also get you to the foundation where we have resources that Tom mentioned, and we'll be sharing more information about his Conversations for Hope. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Jennifer. And, you know, good vibrations for everyone listening.
Oh, right on. Join us next week for a new episode of Cholangio Heroes.